It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Tonight, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
Some other people are kind of outing what they've been doing for a long, 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 long time. They don't like it none too much. So what are they doing? They're going, okay, we're stopping foreclosures. We're just stopping. We're stopping. We don't want to go to jail. So we're stopping. And then they're going to start up again. And then when they do, they're going to be all legalified. I guarantee it. Here we're going. Well, a lot of people, you know, they're going, look, man, you know, this is, didn't I have to have some tax money? I went to somebody to bail out somebody and whatever, and you're wanting a free house? You know, how is it that you're getting a free house? Is that what you're doing, Cynthia?
Absolutely not. We are not about trying to get a free house. We are about preventing the unlawful conversion of our properties by entities that have no valid chain of title to have commenced foreclosure on us in the first place. It's bad enough to be in a position of losing your home, but how would it feel if you found out too late that the bank that foreclosed on you had no lawful right to do so? They kicked you out of your house, stole your property, stole your equity, your dreams, and left you homeless. Now, how would you feel if you found out they committed fraud and felonious acts in which to do so? That's what we're trying to prevent here. We're trying to prevent crimes from being committed against our neighbors, our families, our country. That is what ShowMeTheLoan.net group is about.
ShowMeTheLoan.net. Well, you know, Tom, it's Tom Westbrook here in Mesa. You know, we've been friends for a while, and all this started coming out where, I mean, you're making your payments, but you're like going, you know, this is interesting. I need to understand. Well, I got a lot of properties here, and there's something going on. And you started doing some research. What'd you come up with?
Basically, yeah. I got interested in this. I guess when there was a news story about came out. I think it was in Kansas where they came out with a hearing that said that there a lot of the banks didn't have standing. And that's where the whole thing about the loan and the deed of trust became separated, and now there's no standing for the banks to foreclose, and so that's kind of really what piqued my interest. And there's, you know, like millions of mortgages out there, and so that's when I kind of doing some digging and started going on my looking through a lot of my documents and I keep seeing this MERS thing on a lot of my loans and didn't really know what it meant. And then, so I, you know, I dug into it and found out it was this electronic,
registration service system, something. Well, what is it, Cynthia? Do you know what it is, Tom?
What it stands for, you mean? Or?
Yeah, I mean, no, what is it? I mean, it's a guy, you know, that's his last name of Fred.
It's a database is really, I think, all it is. It's just a database that ties all the mortgages together and makes it so they can securitize them and trade them, you know, on through these, you know, electronic trading systems. So
they needed to record, you know, have something that would turn your mortgage into a number on a spreadsheet
so they could trade it.
Well, exactly. Who created it? Who did that?
Who created MERS?
Yeah.
I think it was a collaboration of a bunch of different banks. The major banks who wanted to get into securitizing created this entity called MERS, and that's kind of how they created it and insulated themselves, because they probably knew there was some fraud involved and stuff.
So that was really the deal, they wanted to have somebody else get in trouble,
right,
which is
exactly.
Nobody else, which is how computer, how now 9000's in trouble now.
Right.
So has anybody, Cynthia, has anybody done any legal action against MERS? And if you were, who would you go after?
Well, that's interesting. Yes, I have MERS involved in my case. My lawsuit, I named MERS because MERS is assigning the beneficial rights of my deed of trust to, and in my, this case, from Homecomings, it's assigning it to BAC Home Loan Services, another servicing company. Now, in order for MERS to have been allowed lawfully to do so, they would have had to have held the note. They have to have the note and the deed of trust, and they're just, right now, just assigning the deed of trust. So there would have had to be an allonge with the note assigning rights to MERS. But the problem is MERS, there's case law all over this country, including California, that MERS doesn't ever hold notes. And we know they're just a computer system. So they don't hold our notes. Our notes are thrown into, in my case, a defunct trust. But anyway, so ultimately, if they don't have the note, they can't be assigning or doing anything with the deed of trust.
Well, this is something that we started to find out when we were looking at that. This is like last spring or something. We started doing some research on this, and you found MERS is at the top of your documents, weren't they?
Yeah, in every document it says MERS like right on the top somewhere.
Well, as if they were what, a bank or something, or
they are the beneficiary. They claim to be the beneficiary of the deed of trust. They are acting as a nominee for the original lender. The original lender, Homecomings in my case, nominated MERS to be the beneficiary of this deed of trust. And that's where the fraud starts, because MERS would have had to hold the note always to be moving the note or to be moving the deed of trust along. And it doesn't. And it's
okay. Now, this is where my interest came in, because I could see what was going on. There was some benefit to having the ability to take the note, the obligation, and shop that around. And it's a number on a spreadsheet that they are just transferring, you know, in stocks and out and trust and what do they call them, trounces or something that they put them all in, whatever. They want to take and be able to move your mortgage or your home or your original note or whatever it is, the fact that you signed a piece of paper, it created this money out of something, and they're able to move that around and sell it for more and more and more, and everybody gets a cut. It's like they're all bookies. But in that process, to be able to do that, they had to create a new way of doing business. And the banks created this MERS thing to be kind of this insulating veneer, insulating on the wire kind of facade something out there. Well, how do you
like
describe
it? Kind of like the firewall or something. So behind the firewall, you know, they got all these companies that are kind of anonymous. And so they just get, you know, use this name MERS, and yeah, it's MERS, you know.
Oh, so they could be confidential.
Right, exactly.
So they could be, we can do what we want, nobody knows who we are.
Right.
Yeah, okay, so they created this MERS thing, but when they did that, to give them any kind of standing of any, just because they got name MERS on top of the document doesn't mean anything. You know, they have to, that's what Cynthia is saying, for them to have any kind of standing on anything is that they have to have both the note and the deed of trust together, or the, whatever they call it in other states, but they have this together, it's kind of one unit. Well, it wasn't. And they didn't want it to be. You know, they needed to be able to, so then it comes later, they go, well, who's going to have standing to foreclose? Well, let's try this MERS thing, because it's on the document. We'll just go ahead and say they can. Right? I mean, that's what was happening. You know, and that kind of got shot down pretty quick. You know, so now they're just making up documents. But when we come back, we'll understand MERS, Mortgage Electronic
Registration
System, okay? It's HAL 9000 is now Obama's computer, and between HAL and Fannie and Obama, they own your home. They're your landlord. Well, that's what they're trying to say. We'll find out more when we come back.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Love ain't the same on the south side of town. You could look, but you ain't gonna find it around. It's the same old story, same old song and dance, my friend. It's the same old story, same old
song and dance! Yes! It's how my money became their money! You know, this happens over and 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 over. We talk about it all the time. How did my money become their money? Well, we're going to try and figure it out here. And, you know, it's, we're just numbers. You know, we're just clay. Remember, you know, you may have heard this before that, why now do they have to have all the kids get Social Security numbers coming out of the hospital? I remember with mine, you couldn't write your children off as a tax deduction until you got a Social Security number. It didn't used to be that way. That started in the late 80s. That's when they started coming to my generation. Or before you'd write them off, you didn't get a Social Security number until you were 16 or something, so you'd go work at McDonald's, you know? But then it's got, no. If you want to write them off, you write that child off, he's got to have a Social Security number. Well, what difference does that make? I thought that wasn't ID. I thought it wasn't supposed to be used. It is now with the IRS. This is the way it is. Get used to it. Now, you know, it's you got to get a Social Security number because they want to use you as collateral. You're just a machine. You know, we're going to make, well, that's what we've turned our homes into, our loans, our bodies, our entity, as we sign whatever in all caps and all that kind of stuff. We are now there to just be able to be used to make money on somewhere. Okay, I get it. Now, when you did your loan, you have a lot of these loans. Are you hearing that noise?
Yeah.
When you did your loan, did MERS show up and they were the ones that you were doing your thing with?
No, I didn't see MERS in the room.
Anymore. Well, how did they wind up on your documentation, though?
That's a good question. I don't know. I just, it went to the title company, so... all this, you know, magic is kind of done with the title company. And it's someone, you know, you think you're supposed to be able to trust. I mean, I actually knew the title lady, and she goes probably all these classes and, you know, learns what she's supposed to do and all that kind of stuff, and she probably don't know what she's doing. But, you know, they, you know, do all these documents, and you just go in and you sign them. And,
you know, that's another thing while I'm thinking about it. This whole thing has to be done under... a mortgage that can be insured by a title company, because a title company you're the one able to sell, you're the one able to buy, you're the one that's clear title. You know, that's what title insurance is all about, is to making sure that you're getting the right person. I think that I started to read, you know, some of that some of the things going on in California. They're going, we can't make these transactions with all these things going out because the title company's going, we're not insuring they were even able to foreclose. That's where the problem is they can't get title insurance.
Oh, you're absolutely right. You cannot sell a property without title insurance, and you can't insure without clear title. And if you can prove that the title is broken, they got an issue.
Oh, so it got, you know, so what solved this?
Well, with
the free market solved it. The free market fixed it, because they got to go to the free market. Now, if the government wanted to insure it, government go, oh, yeah, we'll insure. We'll use guns and stuff and make sure, and this guy has and decree and gavels and so on. But in this process, they still have a semblance of the free market in there. Somebody is putting their money at risk. They're insuring it. It's insurance that you get on this, that you go ahead and you come in. And you're breathing in the mic. That's what it is. The what happens is that you have a private entity that's going to go, all right, well, you're going to give a loan out on this thing. Well, nobody's going to give out, you know, gazillions of dollars out on a home if they don't have somebody that's going to ensure that they can foreclose on her, it's their property, or that's clear title or whatever. So they go to a private insurance company and they say, yep, and it costs this much for us to do it. It's a couple of thousand here for us to do the searching and everything, and maybe a little bit more for the insurance part of it. And it wind up costing you, you know, $2,000, $3,000, $4,000, $5,000, $6,000 just to do the transaction. And then you have them, they're going, we're not insuring this mess. I think that's where the push is coming from. Unless they're going to change and Obama's going to become, you know, the insurer now, which, don't laugh, you know, here it comes. They're, you know, that's the way that they would do it. They would come back and they would say that the government no longer requires that you have this insurance or whatever, or you can't have insurance, or we insure it or something. They're going to have to do something to change it, because the weak link in this entire process is that if they go through all these foreclosures and so on, can they demonstrate a transfer of ownership and title that's clear that can be insured by the title companies? You know, I didn't think of that. You know, I seen something mentioned. I go, oh, I see where the pressure's coming from. It's the private sector to the rescue once again. Okay, Tom, so you go through this and you see that MERS is all over everything. So you start doing some research, and what do you find out?
Well, I was going to say, you're talking about this title insurance thing, and I think that... that's kind of where we went to the dark side, is this title insurance thing. Because, you know, originally you had to have clear title. You know, you had a clear chain of custody from the title owner to the next title owner, and you had this perfect, you know, clear. And if you're buying a property, most people who would, when you go to buy something, you're gonna research and you're gonna find out if the title's clear or not. Well, along came title insurance, and now they don't care anymore. You can go get a mortgage on your neighbor's house if you want to, as long as you buy enough title insurance that, you know, the bank will be covered, because the title insurance protects the bank, right? So the bank don't care if there's a clear title or not. So it doesn't matter if there's a clear title. They're not going to do any research into it because it's all insured. And as long as the insurance company is making money, you know, they're going to keep insuring because no one goes and checks. And so that's kind of how we got into this big old mess where no one has a clear title anywhere. And like, even when, in a, you know, when you buy a foreclosed home, you get a special warranty deed. I mean, what the heck's a special warranty deed? They just make up a deed out of thin air, and they say, okay, we now have the deed, and here we're going to go sell it to this guy, and the bank will fund it because, you know, you buy enough insurance to cover, you know, all the stuff.
So you, when you get something with a special warranty deed, you can do all the transaction, and the title company will insure it.
Right.
It just costs more.
Maybe it costs more in insurance, but you as the buyer, as the owner, aren't protected. It's the bank that's protected. You still have a piece of property that you really don't have title to. I mean, it's not a clear title. It's, you know, it's not a clear and clean title, but, you know, the bank will get paid because, you know, you have your title insurance. You buy the insurance to protect the bank, not to protect yourself.
Is there insurance? I'm sure there's insurance for anything. I could probably buy insurance. If I knew better, I'd get something for me.
Let's say that the previous owner to this property I just bought that's foreclosed on finally, you know, realizes that, hey, this foreclosure was a fraud, right? They could come back and take the property back from me.
And the bank don't care because they're insured.
They don't care because they're going to get paid anyway. They're insured.
Wow. So what's your experience with MERS? I mean, how are they starting to rule on this, saying they don't get to play anymore, or are they in Arizona, they're giving them some kind of legal status?
Well, in California, there has just been so many cases that have determined that MERS has absolutely no standing because they don't have the note in which to foreclose. And when I prepare affidavits for people as an expert, if they have MERS involved in their mortgage documents, I write right in there the opinions from the judges that say that since there is no evidence of MERS owning the underlying note, therefore MERS cannot do anything, have any beneficial interest or rights with that deed of trust.
Well, there's been rulings on that, hasn't there?
Absolutely.
I mean, that's kind of what started this. I think that's what happened in Kansas. Somebody challenged and he goes, MERS, who the heck's MERS? I don't know nothing about no MERS. They don't have standing. And then that's when the story started.
Right.
You know, so I remember if you go into Freedom's Phoenix on the top navigation bar, it says front page, page two, whatever, archives. You go into archives and you'll see a drop down, and it drops down. The second selection is contents listed by subject. And you go, or a lot of the headlines in there have the subjects, you know, listed there too. And you want to find the one that says housing. You go into housing and you can go, you know, page after page after page of just list of headlines of us following this from the beginning. I mean, and we just put all this stuff in there. We got foreclosure category. We got all kinds of stuff in there. But we always make sure it goes into housing, so it's one-stop shopping. You go in there, and you'll see all the cases and have one case built on another, on another, on another, to where we finally get to the point to where Cynthia gets a good understanding of it, Tom has an understanding of it. Now we need to make sure that the judges have an understanding of it, and they didn't. And then they did. And they went, you know what? I don't want to go to jail. Because that's what it's all about. And I tell you, you know, it's starting to become clear to me what really is the problem. They can't get a clear title enough that they'll insure it. Then what? I don't know.
Roads? It's the Ernest Hancock Show. Where we're going, there aren't any roads.
I want to break free.
Oh, yeah, we all want to break free here in the clear. Your independence of me, Ernest Hancock, and we have Cynthia Cantrell in studio along with my good friend Tom Westbrook. Now, Cynthia, she's been an activist around here for a long time. We've known each other for some years, you know, from the beginnings of the Ron Paul Revolution. You know, that's a common thread through all this stuff. You know, people just want to know the truth. And those, you know, revolutionaries, they had the honeymoon with the government was over a long time ago. Yeah, we know how this really works. Well, she's with showmetheloan.net. that, where they're spreading out all kinds of information. And I know one of the other gentlemen, how was it, livinglies.com, is that what it is? Are you familiar with that one?
I'm not.
He uses a lot of information on there, too. So this is more than one group. I mean, there's a whole bunch of people doing this stuff, but they have so many people that are so interested that they're really making a lot of headway. And one of the things that I've seen starting to pop up, I think it was a couple of weeks ago, and then I saw it a couple of times, is that the state's being all strapped for cash during the bubble. The frenzy. They were like going, you know, all these little transfers that you did, everything, weren't you supposed to be, they started picking up on this. You're just transferring this note, running around, so on, open title, going this guy. When you did that in the past, you always had to file the documents, you know, get them all changed and everything with the county recorder's office. And the county recorder's office got some cash. They got some fees. They got, you know, I don't know, percentages or set fees. Different counties and states were different. But they're all starting to go, hey, you know, just don't forget, when you guys get this all done, when you get it all worked out, we're owed a check, right? You know, and they're doing this. So that is, you know, something got people scared, too.
They don't care about all the fraud. They just want their cut, basically.
Yep. Give me my money. Well, go ahead. I mean, Cynthia, before we get to the end of this, we're having a lot of fun, but I want to make sure we get to, you're actually in court talking to judges.
Yes.
And you go to this stuff, and you do, and that's one thing I want to make clear. I mean, there's a lot of things you can go over and how many lawyers on the head of a pen, but, you know, I'm for going after the meat. Because when you go to this other stuff, it distracts. It diminishes the arguments that are the good. You know, so my opinion, that's what I've learned in the past. When you're in politics, you're running against somebody. All this little ouch, quit it, and what, you know, how many bong hits he took in college and whatever. You don't care. He's freaking stealing from me, the neocon piece of crap. I got plenty. You know, the blue dress, seriously, that's your number one thing? Going after Clinton? That was it? That's all you had? I'm going, oh, man, it's just a game they play. No more blue dresses. Give me some good. All right, so now you're going to the judges, minus the blue dress stuff. You're going after what heavy-handed, we're going to kick your butt with stuff.
Absolutely. On Friday, I testified as an expert for a gentleman who MERS was actually involved in his case. It started out with First Magnus, and I believe they went bankrupt somewhere along the way. Anyhow, MERS assigns this deed of trust right, the beneficiary rights to the deed of trust, to Aurora Home Loan Servicing. I'm going to back up. What MERS did was they substituted the trustee to Quality Loan Servicing, and they claimed to be working on behalf of Aurora Loan Services when they did this. They put that in the document.
Okay, MERS is working on behalf of Aurora Home Services, and they transferred, you know,
the trustee
to somebody.
Right. Now, the problem was where did Aurora come into the play? There needed to be an assignment of the deed of trust to Aurora first before MERS could be appointing any kind of a trustee for them. And that didn't happen. Therefore, there was a broken chain right there. Aurora just pops into the picture out of the blue. There's no assignment to Aurora anywhere. And it's Aurora through Quality Loan Servicing Company that decides to foreclose on this gentleman. So in this particular man's case, he had two false forged documents. He had the substitution of trustee that had been recorded in the county recorder's office was a false forged document, and he had the notice of trustee sale, which had been filed in the county recorder's office, and it was a false forged document as well. Now, I'm licensed by the state of Arizona. It is incumbent on me to inform the judge of any and all felonies that I discover and uncover in my research, and I must do that. So while I was explaining everything to the judge, who was trying really hard to belittle me, Ms. Cantrell, you ever been to that county recorder's office? And I said, yes, I have, sir. He says, where is it located? What street? And I said, 301 West Jefferson, right next to 201 West Jefferson, which happens to be the Superior Court building. What else would you like to know? And, you know, that's the kind of junk he was asking me, instead of about the research. So all of a sudden I had to stop him from just continuing to nitpick every little thing about me personally. And I said, Judge, it is incumbent upon me to inform you of any and all for felonies pursuant to 18 U.S.C. Section 4. I am informing you in open court in front of all these witnesses of two felonies filed in the county recorder's office by that man's company, Quality Loan Services. And therefore, Judge, pursuant to ARS 39-161, it is a felony to file false and or forged documents in the recorder's office. I'm providing you evidence of two right here in open court. He stopped. He says, I'll make my ruling Tuesday. And he walked out of there all mad, and he didn't know, you know, just how, what he was going to do with that information. I had informed him. So all of the people.
So what Tuesday? Next Tuesday? This Tuesday? What?
Yeah. So everybody.
Yeah, what? This next Tuesday?
Well, actually, it was yesterday.
All right, yesterday. Did he render a decision?
Yes, he did.
And what did he say?
He said that it is unconstitutional to use an expert witness. And
what?
And he ruled against the homeowner. Yep.
Okay, I rule against the homeowner because that's it? That's the best he can come up with?
That's the best he can come up
with. It's unconstitutional to use an expert witness.
Yep.
And, I mean, that's just what he said.
Yeah, and the homeowner had already gone into every detail that I had already gone in, I went into as well. So he himself was his own witness. He brought every single document out and explained to the court as best as he could, and then had me come to the stand and had myself, you know, go in as an expert and explain each document as well. And the attorney never objected, never, you know, argued any points that he brought up.
Didn't need to.
Yeah.
He already knew.
I know.
Now, this is like an old black and white Spencer Tracy movie, man. I've seen these before.
That's why it's so important to get the word out that, you know, in these non-judicial states, which Arizona being one of them, we need more homeowners out there battling, not giving up. Battle for your home. Make sure that that entity that's foreclosing has some type of valid right, channel, and title to do so. Come to our meetings. We practice every Tuesday night at 6 o'clock. We put it for free on the web.
What do you mean practice?
We practice in a group as if we are in court. We have a judge with a gavel. We have a person that acts as
overruled.
An attorney. Exactly.
Objection. No, I mean, if I'm a judge and you got the guy up there that's practicing, let me tell you how it really is. He goes, shut up. It's unconstitutional for you to talk. I mean, you know, how do you deal with this stuff?
Well, they're very kind to you in the court. They will not rule right there from the bench, though. They want to go and make their opinion, you know, make their decision in a few days.
No, they want to go ask their buddies,
exactly.
And tell them what to do is what they want to do.
That's the issue, and that's the problem. But, you know, there have been successes. There has been. And all of us that have been battling are still in our homes. And it's not easy. It's ugly out there. The attorneys are horrible. The judges are corrupt. But ultimately, we're still in our homes, and we're still battling because we found the broken chain of title somewhere, but that entity foreclosing does not have the lawful right, and we're not going to allow them to get a free house.
Okay, now this is one thing that has changed. I've talked to other people that are in the process of doing this, and they said that, you know, we had, you know, just overwhelming documents being done. These attorney mills that just filing all kinds of stuff against us. They're coming at us, you know, it's blinding you with paperwork. Spent 20 hours a week just doing, and then all of a sudden it stopped. You know, has that been your experience? They just kind of like, woo, man, this is, you know, we're in trouble.
Well, and that is the case in some circumstances. Usually they'll come back really strong with a motion to dismiss based on everything from you didn't serve. You know, in the beginning of my case, I was trying to serve the CEOs, and it's very difficult to serve some of these CEOs. Some of them we did get at their dinner table, but not all of them. So they do a motion to quash service of process, because if you didn't get that document handed directly to that CEO, he just happens to have nobody that accepts service of process, including his lawyers, that will accept for him. So it's very difficult to serve a CEO, as you can imagine. So serving the banks are very easy and simple, but you have to have done that. And you have to show the court and file the right stuff, proving to the court that you did get them served in time. So that's one of the issues that has to be done. But these motions to dismiss are, you failed to state a claim upon which relief can be granted. And that's been the difficult one to overcome, because we make claims all over the place. And our relief is very simple. Go away. You know, quit trying to steal our house. Judge, read the deed of trust. Read all the, you know, all the assignments. And please rule as to whether or not they have the lawful beneficial rights to our deed of trust that they can take our house. Make sure that they have that valid chain of title. We're proving to you with experts that they don't. In my case, I have three experts. I have myself. I have a guy in California that I use that does a forensic examination. And I also have a 30-year banking expert witness who testifies all over the country. And he's the one who found my note ultimately in that defunct trust. He's the guy, and he's right here in Scottsdale, Arizona. He's wonderful. His name is William McCaffrey, and he's very, very busy. That's the biggest problem with him. But that's the guy that made all the changes for my case happen so far.
Well, they're still in their homes. I'm interested to see how this comes out, because it's gotten to the point now that the banks, the courts, the lawyers, the mills, Fannie Mae, have to address all the issues that they're bringing up. But that's not what you're reading in the articles. But what it really comes down to is, can they get title insurance? And if they can't, what do they got to do? We'll find out.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
I'm from the government. Yeah, you go to government school. Here, take this vaccine. You know, it's so easy. All you gotta do is just know how to play the game and get your cable television. I can see where this is going. And it's not the way, I don't think that's how business was done in the past. That's one thing, Tom Westbrook has brought in an old agreement that his father had when he purchased land back in 56, and it's like a couple pages. Here's the property I owe, I pay, or you get. I mean, that was basically it, right?
Right, yeah, basically back in those days it was, an agreement. When you sold property, first of all, if you owned property, you probably owned it. You didn't actually have a mortgage on it or anything. But let's say you wanted to sell it. You wouldn't go to a bank, and it wasn't a three-party transaction. It was a two-party transaction, you, the buyer and the seller. So you would work up this agreement between the buyer and seller, and you'd say you're going to buy the property for, let's say, $11,000, and you have $7,000 today you're going to give them, and then you're going to make payments over some period of time. And that basically, so the seller, it was seller-financed. And that was an agreement, at least in our county, Maricopa County. You can go on the county website and you can look for agreements. And that's basically what it was. It was a transaction, the selling of real estate with only two parties involved. And so I dug this one up. My dad, used to kind of buy and sell real estate back in the day, back in the 50s. And it actually says he was going to buy this land for $11,700. Lawful money of the United States. So the question is what is lawful money? What's the definition of lawful money? Well, if you Google lawful money, if you go to Google Images and type in lawful money.
Oh, I did. I got it right here. And it says, and it has a $10 bill, and it goes, redeemable in gold on demand at the United States Treasury or in gold or lawful money at any Federal Reserve Bank.
Right, so the original Federal Reserve notes that were printed were redeemable for lawful money. So what does that mean? That means the Federal Reserve note is not lawful money.
And
right?
It says Federal Reserve note. It doesn't say silver certificate.
Right,
it doesn't
say
anything.
Right. Yeah,
it says Federal Reserve note.
Because that is a Federal Reserve note.
Which was redeemable in lawful money.
Right, but that is not lawful money. That's just a piece of paper that says, I owe you a dollar of lawful money.
Blah, 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 blah. That's what they said. Then it just kind of transitions,
Exactly.
They kind of string us along.
That's where the fraud began. It was right there. And people started passing these little pieces of paper around and treating them as they became monetized. So now this IOU that says, I owe you, $10, became the money instead of the lawful money, which is the gold and silver.
Well, that's
coin.
Just like the promissory notes of your real estate transaction now becomes kind of, accepted.
Right.
And if you don't challenge it, it will be. And I'm sure there was guys back in the day here that were challenging this very thing.
Yeah, if you got your Federal Reserve notes, you ran down to the Federal Reserve and say, hey, give me my real money. I want this fake stuff.
Yeah, well, then in 33 they went,
they
it's all ours now.
Kind of whited out that part that says redeemable and lawful money now. And then they came up with this legal tender law, basically, which is now a legal tender law means that, well, if I owe Ernie money and, let's say I owe him, 10 lawful dollars, if I give him Federal Reserve notes, he has to accept it. That's what the legal tender law.
Yeah, debts, public and private.
Right.
Yeah, so they made you use their money.
Right.
Or at least accept it. Now, okay, I get it, and I get it, and I get it. Cynthia, you want to leave people with what in our last segment here, last few minutes? I mean, you want to make sure you get in what?
I want to make sure they know about the quote from 1913 from J.P. Morgan, where he quotes, Debts must be collected and loans and mortgages foreclosed as soon as possible. When through a process of law, the common people have lost their homes, they will be more tractable and more easily governed by the strong arm of the law applied by the central power of leading financiers. People without homes will not quarrel with their leaders. This is well known among our principal men now engaged in forming imperialism of capitalism to govern the world. By dividing the people, we can get them to expand their energies in fighting over questions of no importance to us except as teachers of the common herd. That quote, in my opinion, is what is happening today.
When was that written?
1913.
Wow. Man, that's prophetic. Okay. Questions of non-importance. That's kind of my point. Okay. Let's not be quibbling over, you know, like, I tell you what it comes down to. That's why I make such a big deal on this show about what is the proper role of government in all of this? Well, it was just to, you know, protect property rights. Well, what are the property rights? That's one thing that county recorders were there to do. I mean, that's one of the, you know, this is my property. I'm registered in my property. Everybody got this, you know, it defines what my property is. And this is, you know, what the property that I got has whatever conditions on me being able to be here, which is I make my payments to this person that has it. And if I want, that's another thing. They go, people are just walking away from their mortgages. That's another one. They're going, well, you have an obligation to pay. No, you don't. What was the deal? The deal was if I don't pay, you get the house. Okay. Here, take the house. I'm done. It's all good. I'm abiding by the deal.
Right.
But who gets the house? That's what the question is. And they've made it so messy and so messed up and so to, you know, evade taxes or to insulate them from liability or to be able to do other things that otherwise would be unlawful, or they weren't able to change all the laws in all the states to be able to take your mortgage and put it into these, what do they call them, trunces or something, whatever. It's a financial instrument of de la, we get to rip you off. But anyway, so they take that and put it over here and then they can trade it on the stock market, and all of a sudden your, you know, $400,000 loan, if it was to be paid out over years, it'd be millions. You know, I don't know, it's a lot. Okay. Right. Well, what happens is then that $400,000 loan is worth more than $400,000. So they can amp it up. But in the process of doing that, they messed up the little thing about who has the ability to foreclose on your property and still at the same time avoid all those taxes they were trying to avoid by doing it to begin with, by separating this all out. So you have people out there going, you know, you're not allowed to foreclose on my home. And they go, oh, yes, we can. We just made up the documents we needed to be able to say we can. Well, then you go to the judges and they're going, yeah, they can because I got the black robe and the gavel. Boom, they can. But then you start getting into where you have title insurance. A private entity is going to have to insure who really owns this home and who can foreclose and who has it and who can come back after who and whatever. And they're starting to, I think that's where the breakdown is. I think that's where they're starting to go, whoa, we're not getting in this mess. Heck no. And if we do, it's going to cost a lot more. We'll insure anything. The answer is always yes. It's just how much, you know. So I think this is what's going on, and this is what's been happening. But it also has become a political issue. That's where you start getting a lot of change, because in the politics of it, you have people that are wanting to get elected. You have people that are wanting to maintain their legitimacy so they can have their authority to do all other kinds of screw you stuff. All right. Well, in an election year, what do? Well, this is all starting to come out, and they're saying, hey, we need to look at that. Because why? Barney Frank is sending all this stuff out to the Fannie Mae guy? Why? Because there was an article in the New York Times. You know, it's not because of anything other than my constituents said. It's because New York Times, you know, said something. So I can see, you know, the battle going on here, but it comes down to who really has ownership of the home or has the legal right to foreclose. And I know where it's going to go. It's whoever the government says does.
Right.
You know, we got a big job. And if they can do it in such a way and reconstitute everything in such a way that they can maintain their credibility, their legitimacy to rule you, then they will. But that's what is being challenged. You have tens of millions of people challenging that very fact.
Did you hear about the bill that's did you guys talk about that yet? The bill that's on Obama's desk right now?
No.
That has already passed the House and the Senate, and they didn't take a record of who voted on it. So we don't know who to go yell at. basically, this whole problem with all the notaries, the robot stamps and all that. They just passed a bill that says that a notary from one state will be valid in another state.
Oh, my God.
A federal law, they just said, yeah. See, there you go. Yeah. What did I say was going to happen? Because what is she saying? She's saying that she has cases to where they have people in California and Missouri and Michigan or whatever sending documents to notaries in Texas, and they're going, yeah, before me, and he was there, and I looked, and I did, and stamp and done, and that's obvious, fraud, notary fraud right there. So all of a sudden, lickety-split, when they need to, they can get something done. All of a sudden, done. And we've had that happen here in Arizona. We're doing all kinds of give them what for, they can get something done. It gets on the governor's desk, signed emergency, boom, done. Here you go.
And now you got a federal law basically imposed on a state saying the state has to accept the notaries from other states.
Unbelievable. Well, some of the documents that I researched, the notary notarized them before they were even dated, like 6 days prior the notarization was done, before the document was dated and signed. That's the kind of fraud that I've seen. Huge, crazy.
But you see, this is how I've seen it. It's kind of a shiny object distraction thing. They'll go, see, federal law passed, it's all good, done. And then all of a sudden, they're saying, okay, they're all good. And they just put, we got this, they put them in a bucket and say they're all good. You go, whoa, that's not what the law said. That's not what they passed. That's not what we're challenging. They go, yep. I got to gamble.
That's probably why they're doing this sort of moratorium on foreclosures in these other states right now.
What did I just say? What did I say so before you even started? I'm telling you, it's all a pause so that they can pass this kind of stuff to make the illegal legal for them. Retroactive legality. and because they what? Why?
Because they can.
When does the legitimacy of government finally be eroded to the point that you have no regard for them anymore? It happened for me a long time ago.
The people need to fight back. They need to fight for their homes and not walk out. They need to quit giving up, and they need to quit going to those trusty auction sales and buying stolen property from other homeowners. That's what they need to stop right now.
All right. Well, we'll keep following this because did you learn a little bit here? Or just muddy it some more. Well, we're going to keep trying to get more information as time goes on when we have the opportunity. We'll talk to you tomorrow.